two evenings, two afternoons, where we have thought deeply about that we have a relationship to Krishna, a relationship of love, and we might have to liberate a little bit our loving relationship, or let me say we might have to get our love free from the constraints of material life. That we read in this connection a nice prayer by Queen Kunti, who prays that her affection goes as spontaneously to Krishna as Mother Ganga, who flows spontaneously to the sea, overcoming all, let me say, obstacles. Now, today, I wanted to ask you a question. This question is very, very important that we solve it. Why, and it goes something like this. Why do you get up early in the morning and chant Mangala Arati? Why do you worship a spiritual master? Why do you eat only offered prasadam or offered food to Lord Krishna? You follow so many rules and regulations. You put the tilak on your forehead. Bow down to the banyan tree. You worship Mother Cow. You follow Ekadasi rules. Today, for instance, some of you, all of us, I think, have not taken any grains. And we want to have our day a little more spiritual than usual. Why do we do this? What is the ultimate goal in all this? What is the goal of sadhana? To love Krishna.
Remember Krishna.
To, oh, this is a an answer also. To remember Krishna, never forget him. We want to think of Krishna.
To become detached from material energy so we can become attached to Krishna.
Detach, attach. Detach from the material energy so that we can become attached to Krishna. You give wonderful answers. The Rupa Goswami describes that the goal or the reason why a person does sadhana is the smatavya satatam Vishnu. Visma to your naya to jet, that we always want to remember Krishna and never forget him. All the other rules and regulations are just servants to this one particular goal. We want to become absorbed in Krishna thought. This is the reason why we do all these things. It follows that if we do all these things and we never think of Krishna, we have not really reached the learning goal. I was telling the devotees that once there was a Brahmana Pandit who gave a lecture on the Ramayana, and he had one listener, a Mataji, who always cried profusely. So he felt honored. This Mataji's tears are showing the value of my discussion. It moves her very much. And after one of his classes, he asked this Mataji, Mataji, you always cry profusely. You must be moved in your heart. And the Mataji said, yes, I'm crying. I'm crying because of my goat. He died 2 weeks ago. And your particular beard reminds me of my goat. That's why I'm crying. So I think you understand. So he was sitting in the Ramayana discussion, but his mind was not there, and therefore he didn't have the full benefit. This is also when we do devotional service, but your mind is somewhere else. It really does not help you so much. I know one devotee's mind today will be totally fixed on the amplification system of the and he will value the, he will think the, oh, the sound is gone. He will not value the points, but he will think of the sound. And so we want to all encourage the devotee, amplification or no amplification, the mind is to be with the subject matter. This is our encouragement. Or so the mind is so important that even if devotional service is only done within the mind, the Lord accepts that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the example of our Nishinananda Das Brahmacharya, who knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. In order to serve him, he mentally made a road to Vrindavan, which he made with jewels. Then he put flowers so that it's soft for the lotus feet of the Lord. Then in his meditation, he put different trees and rest houses and lakes and breezes, very important, on his meditational road, and just constructed a road in his mind. When he arrived, he must have had an inner road map of Bengal. When he arrived at Kanai Natashala, he tried to construct more, but it did not work. He tried to construct the road further and further and further, and did not work. So finally he declared with great security and clarity in his voice, the Lord will not go further than Kanai Natashala. And really, when Lord Chaitanya made his journey to Vrindavan, he stopped and returned at Kanai Natashala for certain reasons. He did not continue. So in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada explains that a road constructed in the mind is accepted by the Lord as much as a road which is constructed in actual in matter. Because the mind is subtle matter, and the other things is gross matter. So there is no difference for the Lord. This can show you the Lord, something of the Lord's nature. Whatever you do for the Lord, even when you meditate for the Lord, it is fully accepted. Thank you very, very much. You have presented a real garland. But for Krishna, you could have made a garland in your mind and given him a lotus flower garland with gold inside and many, many things inside, and he would have accepted it. My dear devotees, when you are sometimes incapable of doing something because you are maybe sick or maybe the circumstances are not so good, you can make the most wonderful offerings to Krishna in your mind and perform devotional service. You can build a temple, an altar, and serve him in the mind, and you will make great advancement. What do you think of this method? It's amazing, isn't it? You can, when you are poor, and you cannot make so much with buy the glass ingredients. Sometimes we are poor in our life. Then no problem. You make crystal. You use the metal crystal, the material crystal, and you make crystal chandeliers. No problem, and offer them to Krishna. You could use a little rubies here and there, and a little gold, and the Lord will accept. Today, I want to enter with you a meditational exercise. We will need to open the windows a little bit because we are in a Hare Krishna temple and you will be a little tired because you have eaten sufficient amounts of good and heavy prasadam and so on. I would like to take you on a journey today It's a guided meditational journey where we will hopefully be able to meet Lord Krishna. For this, I wish to first of all request you to sit as comfortably as possible. I hope you have a cushion and so on and so forth. Straighten your spine if possible. Stop making garlands.
I'm sorry.
And lambs and cutting potatoes and whatever you're doing. Good. This is most comfortable for you?
Yes.
Good. You can of course also change. And please, for only 20 minutes, accept Satchinandan Swami as your guide into the interesting realm of your minds. Sit down comfortably. Softly close your eyes and feel inside your body. Go inside. Check whether your posture feels comfortable. Perhaps you would like correcting it a little bit. Now let us start breathing. Exhale and empty your lungs completely, maybe with a relaxing sigh. And with the outgoing breath, let go everything that happened today. Breathe in and out naturally and deeply. Relax and let your lungs fill up with fresh air all by themselves. Continue to take a few more deep breaths. You are breathing like a wave. A wave running up the shore and returning to the sea, coming back again and again. Steadily, effortlessly. Now fix your attention to the nose. Please only use the nose in breathing in and out. Try to find out where does the air come in contact with your body the first time. Is it inside the nose? Is it around the holes of the nose? And how does it feel? Maybe a little cold. Maybe you feel the touch of the air. Maybe there's an itchy sensation on the nose. Stay with your attention at that place where the air first comes in contact with your body. Try to find out how it feels. For now, the duty for you is only to observe your breath and where it meets with your body. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is the prana, the in and outgoing breath. Your breathing is always with you. Yes, in this form, Krishna is always with you. When he leaves you as your breath, he takes your soul out of the body. But while you are in the body, the Lord is with you in the form of the breathing. Let it flow, calm and relaxed. Calm and relaxed. Now please relax your feet. First move your attention into your feet. From your toes to the heel. In your mind, touch your joints, your calves, your knee. Go up to your thigh. Relax the muscles in your legs and then forget about them. All this time, please breathe in and out. Now feel your hands, your forearm, your upper arm, and your shoulders. Relax them and then forget about them. Feel how the relaxation permeates throughout your body. Now go to your hips and to your buttocks and relax them. Let your belly become soft and relax your belly, and then please go to your back. Relax the back muscles. Now move to your spine. Feel your spine. Go up your backbone piece by piece, like climbing up a ladder, up to your neck. Relax your back and your neck. Oh yeah, and what's about your breathing? It should go in and out, slowly and naturally. Now move up to your head. Relax all those tense little muscles which take care of your smile and your frown. Relax your forehead. And yes, these little muscles in your face. All your muscles are soft and relaxed. Your body is nicely relaxed. Very calm and relaxed. Your mind goes back again to the breathing, in and out, calm and balanced. With your inner eye, you see a summer meadow. Perhaps your meadow is like the meadow out here in Inishrad. With your inner eye, please go in your meadow. Perhaps you will find yourself amidst all kinds of bright flowers. Perhaps you feel the grass beneath your bare foot. Perhaps you smell the charming fragrance of blossoming trees, if there are any. And maybe you hear how the locusts chirp. With your inner eye, please look around. Your meadow provides everything you like. Take a look around and let the landscape become more vivid before your inner eye. Are there maybe small hills? Are there maybe peacocks or cows in the back? In this way, you are wandering across the big meadow. Or is it more like floating? There's some yearning in you that wants to go up the mountains. You gladly follow this invitation. Oh yes, there's a narrow path which winds its way up the mountain. There are all tall trees whose thick tops create long shadows and let only very little light go through. You go on through the forest, on and on. How long might you have been walking by now? Wisps of mist hang between the tree. It's like Irish mist. The mist is becoming thicker and thicker and surrounds you completely. Oh, the air that you are breathing is cold and damp. However, you are determined and full of faith. You keep on walking. And walking. And walking. In one place, the fog begins to clear. You look towards it. Oh God, rays of sunlight smile through the clouds. It won't take long before you will have a clear sight. You are looking at a most beautiful landscape. Its silhouettes appear to be golden. A glistening ribbon flows up to the horizon. What a breathtaking view! You feel drawn to go towards the horizon. It is irresistible. Full of joy and with outstretched arms, you run down faster and faster. How soft the sand is! And the wind tenderly caresses your skin. Vrindavan! You have heard so much about it. Look, the Yamuna. There she is, finally. Finally, you have reached her. You are a little out of breath and full of expectations. You are looking at her. From the distance, a prayer can be heard. O sacred Yamuna, you are the same river which is flowing in the spiritual world. Whoever takes a bath in you will become free from all sins. Wonderful. You bow down and sprinkle a little water on your eyes and ears, your nose and your mouth. The Yamuna feels warm and mild. Softly her waters play around your ankles, and deep in thought you keep wading. Then you immerse yourself completely in her crystal clear water. Oh, being completely in the Yamuna, how wonderful it feels. When you come up from the water, you see how something is drifting by you. You guess, conditionings, karma from past times. Oops, you can let them go. Let them go. Happily you bow your face into your water-filled hands. Then you leave the Yamuna with easy elation. The drops of her water make your body glitter until the sun dries your skin. In fresh new clothes and full of joy, you follow the path of the river. Little waves ripple the surface. After some time, you feel like leaving the banks of the Yamuna and find a way through the beautiful trees. Soon, you find yourself in a wonderful garden. Birds are chirping. Fragrant flowers bow down with their blossoms. An inconceivable splendor, fullness, and vitality. In all directions, there's nobody to be seen, no gardener, no proprietor. Deep in thought, you're wandering along the artfully designed path. Suddenly, you detect a sublime building. Yes, you're standing in front of a most beautiful temple. Your eyes pass along its walls. It looks very impressive. The decorations are so nice. The architecture. Let the pictures come of your temple. It is flooded by the sunlight and looks magnificent. Someone must have taken a great endeavor. However, the entrance is locked. After some time, the gate opens, and you curiously look inside. You look inside your temple. An incredible scene awaits you. What an atmosphere. What a nice construction. You go inside your temple. You go through the soft light. And you step in front of the altar. Shri Krishna, how incomparably his beauty is. How pleasing to see him face to face after such a long time. Difficult to say, does he look like Radha Govinda or Radha Nandan Ishvara? Or maybe like the pictures which you like so much? Refreshed by the sight of his happy lotus-like face. It is surrounded by curly hair, and his shiny cheeks are lit up by his glittering earrings, which are moving to and fro. While you keep on looking, you hear a voice in the distance, full of longing. Sing his holy names.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, and look at Shri Krishna. He's exquisitely decorated by a pearl necklace. Look at Srimati Radharani, her beautiful sari and her smile and their crowns, bracelets, ankle bells. Look to Krishna. Around his neck he has a garland made of wonderful forest flowers, around which the bees are humming, enchanted by the delicious fragrance. Oh, and a silken cloth as yellow as the filament of the lotus flower is tied around his hips. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is ever young and fresh and worshipable for the living entities of all planets. He is the source of all transcendental happiness. You are looking at his well-wishing smile and start praying internally. Yes, you pray your own prayer. It is your own prayer. While you are ending your prayer, you feel how Krishna is saying something to you. You clearly feel it from within, but you cannot say where the voice comes from. This is what he says to you. What is really important to you? What is really important? Then he asks the second question. What is your deepest desire? your own true goal in Krishna consciousness. What is really important to you? What matters really for you? And then, what is your deepest desire? Your true goal? While pondering upon these questions, the gates of the altar are slowly closing. Deeply affected, you bow down. You would like to keep in mind what is really important to you. You might want to write it down. Deep in thought, your hand glides down into your pocket. Oh yes, there is a pen and a little notepad. So you write down your deepest desire and your most important goal. They should not be lost. Thoughtfully, you are leaving the temple. It seems to be time to go back. One more time, you make your way through the wonderful garden along the Jamuna. And on you go, leaving the garden and the temple behind. Your way leads you to the mountains. Yes, there it is, the narrow path which will take you back. You follow its winding way, going higher and higher. Up there is still thick fog. After a short time, it becomes difficult to see your hand before your own eyes. Strange, this kind of fog. Full of faith that it will finally dissolve, you keep on walking. You go on and on, past high trees, through the branches of which the wind is whirling. On and on. There are fewer trees now. Oh yes, and there you can see the green of your summer meadow shining between the trunks. Soon you will be there. Oops, there you are again, in the middle of your meadow. Everything remained unchanged, as if you had not gone at all. All inner pictures withdraw themselves slowly. Please breathe in and out. Some of the pictures you might keep in your memory. You know that you can be at the Yamuna whenever you want to be. You know you can come to Krishna in your heart whenever you want to be. And whenever you want, you can visit your temple. Anytime. Take a few deep breaths. Get back into your body. You can open your eyes. Move a little around because the legs and back might feel a little clumsy. Turn your head. One is still meditating. you can raise your arms and have a good stretch, whatever helps you to get going. And yes, one thing, Don't forget the little note that you took in your book, in your mental notepad. Don't forget. Because so, Hare Krishna. We now look at you. I have not purposefully not looked at you. Some are smiling, some are just fighting with their tiredness, I think. May I see from you, did some pictures come? Yeah? Something came? Did you write something down on your notepad? Yeah? I would recommend to you to look at this really after some time. What is really important to you? Because most of the times in our lives, we know so much about Krishna consciousness, but somehow we don't always think about it, what we know, isn't it? And then we live our life in the trivial way, and we are not deep enough in our spiritual life, and so on. Hare Krishna. This was a little exercise. I hope it was successful. But there is something in these guided meditations which is a little problematic. The problem is that each one of us has his or her own inner life, really. And when someone just takes you along, they now do this, now do that. Sometimes you may say, no, I want to do what happens to me. that is sometimes a difficulty. But all I wanted to do is, I wanted to give you the experience of 20 minutes just thinking deeply reflecting about spiritual subject matters. Some of the devotees of Krishna do this regularly. They know that my relationship to Krishna is something confidential, something private, something internal, which is very, very dear and very special. So they sometimes sit and think on Krishna and so on and so forth. I want to today, because there is Ekadasi, I will not talk so much theoretical. Tomorrow I consider we come to the most important part of our little seminar. Tomorrow is Friday. I will give you many practical tips where you can take your notebook and write down. But I would like to now ask a little bit of the feedback from the group. What were your experiences? Good ones, not so good ones, and so on. I think it's very good if we hear a little what you were discovering on that private journey.
Found it hard to focus.
Found it hard to focus.
Mental picture.
Yeah. Mind is very restless. Krishna said it's to control it is something like the controlling the raging wind or storm. Yeah, I have been there, and therefore it was easy for me to visualize. There's a total different responses. You can see that inner life is something very individual, Someone said didn't work, another said it worked.
I found it difficult to answer the questions that Krishna asked, and I felt sad that I wasn't able to be real clear with that. And so something I'd like to.
The questions of Krishna were not so easy to answer for me, and I thought it would be nice if I would have an answer.
Help to clarify what I was feeling internally. I could access more, you know, what I was really feeling.
I could access more what I was really feeling. How was it for you, Sitaram Prabhu? I think you did it the second time, no? Mm-hmm.
I think it was, I found it.
It is easier. But I would recommend you a very simple exercise in contemplation. When you read the then instead of just going and running through the book, so to say, you know, like running through the trees, fly left and right by you, just stop for some time and then contemplate and remember what you have read. That will help you to become a little bit more reflective in your life. Other feedback? No one of the Madhusis? Yes. It's very nice that two of the devotees have spoken about this question in here. I want to tell you about my life. I just realized I do have a very specific relationship with Krishna. And if I'm aware of this relationship, it's very then becomes very clear what I should do. For instance, the first time I really thought, what is really important in my spiritual life? I didn't do this meditation. I made this up, this meditation. So I have, when I was thinking what is really important in my life, I didn't do this with the help of this meditation. I just thought, and then I thought very deeply, well, actually I want to become Krishna conscious. That was very important. And then the question came, how can I do this? And I noticed, well, I have to chant properly Hare Krishna, which we will do this evening. I realized that. Now, when you do these things like ask Krishna, there is a very important question which comes, which we will look at now. The question of uncertainty. I will show you a video. For this, you might take your respective positions so that you can see clearly, like the last time. I'm sorry that I only have... I do not know anything about movies. Maybe the Pandavasena can help me. And I say to devotees who know movies, please give me a movie excerpt. And again, it's a movie except from the Christian background. I would have a good, like to have good Indian movies for my shows, but I don't know, and I don't want to go into the world of Bollywood. So, the scene which you will see is... please listen again. The scene which you will see now is a very, very, let me say, moving scene. It is about Jesus' last few hours before he was crucified. He was thinking in his mind, this is what the movie says, is it really necessary that I'm going through this pain of being crucified? For what? And he has a deep, he has an encounter, which you will see, where he encounters his doubts. I also think when a person looks for spiritual answers, he often has a doubt. Is this really right what I'm doing? Should I be doing this? He may turn to the super soul and he may get an answer, join the Bhakta program or join the Pandava Sena task force to build a new temple in London, central London. But then he will think himself, oh, this may be a task which is a little bit over my head. Is it really good? So security or knowing what Krishna wants from us, knowing what is really important for us, is important, but there will be always doubts. The doubt is called like the Madhu demon who comes. You might have seen when you are in Krishna consciousness, is it really the best? Is it really good? And so on. So how can you have certainty? This we will look and discuss a little bit, and then we will come to the end. Now be prepared for a most amazing, astonishing presentation. I will again speak to you, translate for you in my clumsy English. You will have to understand. I'm sorry, I don't.
That's already Connecticut.
Can you all see? This is now the close associate to Jesus, Judas. He is on the Oral Mountain. I have followed him and his men. Come with me. How many are there?
Five.
And how should we know who's Jesus? The person whom I kiss is Jesus. My father, can't this thing go past me? Can this challenge not pass me? Is there not another way? I am so afraid, my father. Oh, the last scene has come for you, Jesus. Your father will not be merciful to you. He wants that you have to go through all of this, step by step. If it is his will. His will? Don't be foolish. His will is that you will be whipped, that you will be spitted upon, that you will be chased through the roads, that you will be judged and crucified. You have seen crucifixion, but you didn't feel them. You didn't feel the pain which goes when the nails come through your hands and the nails through your feet. This torture, this death torture, the weight of your own body will finish your lungs and you will suffocate slowly. And totally alone you will be at that time. Look at these people, your disciples, they will run away when the soldiers come. Everything is in vain, Jesus. No, it is not in vain. God will show his love to man through me. God, this invisible, heartless person who throws you into hell, it will be in vain, totally in vain.
Lass es mich dir zeigen.
Let me show you.
Kreuzzüge in deinem Namen.
Crusades in your name. They will say, Jesus, Jesus, and kill. In the name of Jesus. Attack. To kill for Christ will be a good thing through the ages. That is it for what you are dying. Another reason to kill each other. Don't you think enough reasons are there for killing each other? You have to give the Jesus reason. It is so simple, Jesus. Just tell me, take me, take me. And look at this scene.
In the name of Jesus, the Lord of the heavens, you are judged. And you have made a sacrilege against Jesus of Nazareth.
And by the way, she is totally innocent. A world in war. Why? Why? Who knows? Maybe someone didn't like the pickle on the nose of the other guy. You can end all this. Don't let yourself to be crucified. Make a paradise out of earth. Take on the power with me. You can do it. It's in your hands. No, I can't do it. It is not God's will. Is it not God's will to end war? What type of God is this? He is a God who lets the free will of the human being. He has not made the human being to order him. He has given him free will. Ha, and that's what they decide? Yes. I forgive you. I don't want your forgiveness. Look, there Jesus comes, the Judas comes and his horde of killers. Jesus, don't even go down for me. I don't even want this. Just ask the Father to give you free. He will not force you to go through this. Just give a sign and you are at home. Protected. Yes, now. You know it's true what I showed you. Jesus, you don't know the plan. I have seen it. The people are too weak. They are too weak to live according to your direction. Give me one sign. And all this goes when you go home to your father in Nazareth. Don't die in vain. Don't die alone. I'm not alone.
Mein Vater ist bei mir.
Du
wirst vergeblich sterben. Ich bin in den Herzen der Menschen.
No,
ich werde sterben für die Güte in den menschlichen Herzen, die der Vater erschaffen hat, damit die Menschen sein Bild immer wieder erstrahlen.
Und
die das wollen,
those who want this,
werden in mir die Stärke finden, zu lieben bis zum Ende.
To live until the end. Friend, do what you have come for.
A little dramatic. The idea was here, how to be sure if doubts come and plague you. I want to ask you how will you be sure in your spiritual life? Have you also been tempted sometimes? Nefesh? Quite a few times. So Jesus is not alone. Nefesh is with him. In this situation, in this, you know, maybe not on this level, but. How have you overcome these temptations and or tests and been sure that what you wanted in your spiritual life is the right thing? Like you call, in this movie, we see a person who's very sure. I mean, didn't he have good argument? Quite a strong argument, isn't it? In the name of your religion, so much nonsense will be done. Are there not enough reasons for this? Do you have to add a religious reason for that? And he was sure. Now, how can we be sure that what Krishna tells us is correct? This is a question which you, I will request you to give some feedback.
What I notice is that when that little voice comes, it always focuses everything on your little self,
yeah,
rather than having some bigger vision for other people.
I have noticed when that little voice of doubt comes, you are always focused on yourself rather than onto a bigger vision to other people. How are you sure? I was thinking now it would be a storm of hands and a storm of answers and I'm impatient to talk, but you are sitting as if I have destroyed your spiritual life. This is very important. Our Manoj is a founding member of the Pandava Sena. You must save us now from this uncertainty. I remember the first time the Pandava Sena met in London, I believe. When was it? 96? And I met Manoj with a nice frisura that has gone. You had a microphone. You kindly save this atmosphere in the room. How can you be safe? Sure, Manoj Prabhu. You look to Nitesh and to our, what was his name? Nitesh, because they are the leaders of Pandava Sena for support. Very good. Our Manoj said something very deep. The association of devotees can give me that insurance. I think we have made this experience also. We are in doubtland and then we enter the kirtan and everyone is it seems to be normal to be enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. Might just as well shuffle politely back and forth. and soon it seems that almost a cloud is taken from the mind and we feel isn't it? Any other thing to be sure? See the Prabhupada's book? Could you out and start reading them and get answers or I think this is a very good answer as well. When we read in Prabhupada's books, it's almost that after some time, provided we can concentrate and don't feel all the time mind injecting.
What do you read? Give me this book.
Take another magazine. Zahari Fashions. Goldie Fashions. we can read, and all of a sudden, this feeling of deep spiritual satisfaction comes, and you read something about how the super soul directs his devotees, and you feel it is right, it is totally right, isn't it? I have made this experience. Thank you very much. Maybe this is this really works. Yes, Peter, absolutely.
I've often found that sometimes just zooming back to and seeing the bigger picture, I often use to turn back and see the world through performance. And you can see so many things that were inconsistent, so many problems that came up. And hand in hand with this, you know, the Buddhist association as well, something that experiential.
Then I move back and just watch the whole world, see the bigger picture, the cosmetic features of the illusion and so on, the goals, and I understand the performance, and then I know, well, this is how it's right. I get the perspective there. Mm-hmm. You have another? Yes. Very big doubts. I just asked my Guru Maharaj, because the mind does selective hearing, it goes back and forth, but if I asked him, I have an authority. I think that's all you, yes?
I'll speak back on this similar, but in the sense that if you listen to lectures, especially by the spiritual master,
yeah.
And sometimes things that you're concerned or thinking about, they seem to be answered. And yeah. In one lecture, one group was saying that if you do something and actually what Krishna wants, then you'll feel a sense of happiness. He says if you do something which is not Krishna's plan, then even though you may get some temporary stimulation, you won't in the long term you won't actually feel happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, this point is raised when you hear spiritual master says in a lecture, for instance, you hear him making a point, and one point this devotee says was, he said, only if you do what is Krishna's plan, then you will be nicely situated and happy. If you don't do what is Krishna's plan, you will suffer in some way. Mm-hmm. Good. Yes. Your name is Nita, I believe.
I think it's a combination of
when I see people's personality and character and their example also, doubts are removed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter Ram Prabhu is.
I think oftentimes one of the practices is already been put some more intuition as well. It's not that we put our whole conscious sense of intuition, but that's always the direction.
Yeah.
Feeling we get inside of something. Two times the left and the right,
intuition plays a very big role in certainty. Sometimes the intuition says a little bit to left, a little bit to right. Can we trust what the person says and so on? And we have an intuition about it. Yeah. Can you speak loud, please? Yeah. Always have full confidence in what people say to you, but when you read in the Bhagavad Gita, you can have faith in what Krishna said. I wanted to actually thank you very much. I'm aware that there are many more, some more things, but I wanted to give you something for your spiritual life. Our devotee has just called to our attention that you can get a lot of certainty from Krishna's own words. Yes, the Bhagavad Gita remains a source of deep inspiration, a source of clarity for a devotee who reads regularly in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Here in this little afternoon we have talked about contemplation in Krishna consciousness. I wanted to read to you how Krishna says we can think about him and see him. Krishna gives about 9 points how we can meditate about him. And this I have given more. I want to request those who take notes to write down this particular verse, only the number, so that you can read it at home. I found it very, very nice to write these points down. Also, I think it's a good point for the Crystal Lotus Studio and all places, you know, working place, university place, and so on. Because here Krishna actually gives us guided meditations. What we did a little creatively and speculatively, Krishna gives very authorized in the 8th chapter, please write down, 9th verse. You can find this. There he says, one should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendent beyond the material nature. Let us go through it again. Who of you has remembered one point? How should we think of Krishna? He who knows everything. You can think about it. Oh, Krishna knows the future. Krishna knows how my attendance will work. Krishna knows if I will be get married, yes or no. Krishna knows all these questions which I sometimes have. What is another meditation? He is smaller than the smallest. This is how I became Krishna conscious. By this sense, I became Krishna conscious, unfortunately. But this is how I started my life. The devotee said to me, do you know that Krishna is in every atom in between? He's present everywhere. You're never alone. Someone who takes sannyas this is the meditation which he has. He is always understanding Krishna is with me. Wherever I am, I'm never alone. This is recommended for sannyasis, who's smaller than the smallest. What other meditation? He's always a person with all wonderful qualities. What is, for the devotees in the material world, the most important quality of Krishna? What? Mercy. Yes, your mercy cases. The quality has been said in Sanskrit, Bhakta Vatsala. He's the